Are we exposed? Security teams ask this every day. Vulnerabilities across network, cloud, AI, and OT silos hide the truth, and attackers are watching. Tenable unifies your tools, teams, and data so you can spot and close risks fast. Tenable's AI-powered exposure management gives teams one view of risk, helping them focus, take action, and close critical exposures fast. Visit Tenable.com. Tenable. Your exposure ends here.
Up, everybody. Hi, what's up? Welcome. I'm George Massey. We're going to do some 9-8 Fiancé chat, episode 7, OG 9-8 Fiancé. It's the George Massey show. Kara's going to join us in a second. We're going to get into this episode. Can you believe we're 7 episodes in? I was watching tonight and I realized that we're almost 2 months into this new season. And I feel like the time went by really fast. Because I was like, we'll get Kara in here. We're going to talk about some of this stuff going on because we're talking about the price of cows tonight. We're talking about, hey, Gigi. Hey, TJ.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It rained like crazy today and my car was getting serviced.
Oh, no.
So on my way leaving, I had to run to the car and I got soaked, but I'm okay. I'm not going to complain. It could be much worse, right?
Could be.
It could have been a hurricane, or there was actually a horrible earthquake in Thailand. So I'm not complaining. It could have been much worse.
Just in case you want to know, I'm complaining.
What's going
on? I'm always complaining.
What's going on?
Oh, I'm just cold.
Oh,
it's going to be sunny. It was 71 degrees last Tuesday, and then it was 42 from there on out.
See, I get you. I get cold. I told you, I was in New York City last week, and I was cold. And everybody who was from the area, they laughed at me. And, you know, they were like, oh, this is warm. I think it was 50 degrees when I landed. And they were like, this is warm. This is like, we're happy. They were wearing shorts. I had on a winter coat, a sweater, a hat, gloves, a scarf. And I was still like this. And everyone was making fun of me. I was freezing. And I was like, why are y'all laughing?
Happy spring.
Yeah, I like where I live, there's four seasons. Summer, super summer, and oh my God, summer. That's all we get.
Where I live, there's four seasons, but they're all in one day.
See, I used to live in Ohio, and they did that. It was one season, snow, rain, sleet, ice. I can't do it. Yeah. I can't even do it. Okay, yeah, so we're gonna talk prenups tonight too, and I know we've talked this a lot. We're also going to talk the price of cows. We're going to talk dowries. There's a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. And Sarper and Shekinah were on, and Dan, who we met their first time around, he's still doing the same shit he did. Remember the first time we ever met him, he tried to tell Shekinah that he wanted to be with her then. Do you remember that?
I cannot believe how much Sarper is growing on me. I would have never thought I would say it, but he's growing on me.
I still don't like him. But
I still don't like him, but he's funny.
He can be funny, but, you know, like, I think what happens is they put him on season with Greg, and I really, really dislike Greg. So it's like, Sarper, he's not the worst thing to happen. So I'm just like, I don't have all the energy. I can't put all my energy and hate into Sarper because I have to hate other people too, right?
Attitude is a little different now that he's in America. I'm not going to lie. He's still a piece of shit, but he's not on his turf.
But what do you mean by that? Do you feel like he's less of a dick, more of a dick? Like, how do you feel?
I feel like he's less of a dick because he doesn't have as much control. Like, it's not his house. He doesn't have friends he can run to. He doesn't have, he can't just walk out and go somewhere.
So it's like having the home court advantage. Like when you are playing football or basketball and you have the home court advantage, you play better at what you do because this is where you practice and this is where you are. So now that he doesn't have the home court advantage, a lot of people are describing him as a little scared puppy. Are you getting
kinda.
That?
I mean, he's in a very unknown territory. If he does wrong, you know, it's up to her to kick him out.
Well, he's part-time homeless.
Yeah.
That's what he said tonight. And
that was good.
It's actually true. He's allowed to sleep in their apartment, But when there are clients, he's now homeless and he has to roam the neighborhood, aimlessly roam the neighborhood.
Also, his comment about not being able to cook there really pisses me off because I thought they just ate butter.
Sticks of butter. Yeah, right. So they just ate raw sticks of butter.
What do you need to cook? There's nothing to cook.
Butter, you just take it right out of the refrigerator and you eat it. That's literally what they told us at the tell-all. They were like, well, we need more cholesterol than everyone else, so we just eat sticks of butter. And
yeah, so no need to cook. Don't worry about your kitchen.
I think, my opinion, most of their story is bullshit. I'm pretty sure there's probably more to that apartment that they didn't film, or like a kitchenette area that we didn't see. Like, I think that it's not possible that all that we saw is all that entails for that apartment, because she said that her and her daughter used to live there. And I'm pretty sure if you have a child, it's part of the legal rights of the child that you have to cook in that house.
Right.
Like, you can't move a child to like a hotel room.
Yeah.
You have to I'm pretty sure CPS has strict rules about where you can let kids live. I'm pretty sure it has to have a kitchen and a bathroom, and that kid it has to have a place where it can like sleep and get dressed. That's not around other people.
Right.
I think that this is bull.
But
like,
also,
I don't.
Did you notice tonight? So when they first got there, she had all of her shit set up in the kitchen.
Yeah.
That's why you couldn't cook. Tonight, you didn't see any kitchen, anything in the background. None.
Yeah, I noticed that too. It looked like they were almost in a different room.
Yep.
It did. So that's why I think that there's different rooms that we didn't see. And I think that she has like a room that they were using tonight that's not the same as the kitchen. I mean, yeah, I think the shit is probably spread out all over the kitchen, but that's not the main work area. I think there's another room that, you know, when you go to the doctor's office, there's like room. There's like a room. I think she has more than one room that she uses. And I think the one that made sense for them to show on the show was the one in the kitchen, because their storyline is he can't cook in the house, which I think is complete BS.
Yeah, I agree. But him calling the guy a French baguette was pretty cute. And then when the guy said, you don't want to start with me? And he's like, oh, I don't. And he just gave that shit-eating grin. Like, there's little things he says that is making him grow on me. I don't like him, but I don't hate him from the pit of my soul anymore. I hate him from the pit of my belly, but not the pit of my soul.
Yeah. I mean,
I still can't stand her. I hate her in the pit of my soul.
Well, yeah, I don't like that he takes people's phones and pulls their hair.
Yeah,
I don't like that. It's not a favorite part of anything for me, but he's not the worst thing that we are watching on the show, and I think that's what makes it easier. Like, oh my gosh, we're watching Jasmine on The Last Resort, and she's become the most hated person. Like, she's public enemy number one, and it's like, when people are doing stuff that she's doing, it's like, we don't have enough hate in us to just give it to one person. We have to give it to Jasmine at one point. So yeah, I think that Sarper is definitely, he's okay, right? Like, I've tolerated him. Like, I'm tolerating him so far. I don't care. Like, I don't like him. I could go without ever seeing him again, but toleration is the key word here. I'm tolerating.
And I feel exactly the same. If I don't ever see the guy again, it'll be too soon. But if you're gonna be on my TV, you better crack a freaking joke.
Yeah. Yeah, make me laugh, at least. Yeah. Don't hit me.
So,
make me laugh.
He didn't actually make me laugh, but he made me smirk a little bit.
Well, yeah, he's no comedian, but
no.
But you're right. He says a few funny things. But, okay, so I want to talk about, because I think that was it with Sarper and Shekinah, kind of nothing really substantial.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about Mina and Jordan, because I want to talk about Jordan specifically, because I feel like Jordan, not just Jordan, also Mark's family, they all feel like it's Mina's responsibility to kiss their ass and make them accept her. And I want to get your opinion on that, because the baby's already here. She's already here on a K-1 visa. How important is it that the family accepts her? Because Mark has already made up his mind. He's already did the visa paperwork. She's already been approved. They've already had a baby. She's already moved from one country to another for him. Whether or not the family likes Mina is kind of out the window, right? Like, it doesn't really matter at this point.
She's still a gold-digging whore, like, plain and simple.
Well, I agree. Well, when she said tonight, she was like, why do you think I'm here for the money. And I was like, well, you're a stripper that he met in Paris, and then you got pregnant, and now you're in New Hampshire living with him. That's literally a gold digger.
Yeah.
But he is okay with it. And I think tonight I really realized that Jordan has done nothing but try to solidify her inheritance this whole time. Because she tried to make it better when they were on the ferry.
But right? At the same time, I was picking up on Jordan's husband. He's an NFL player, so she's fine.
Was. We looked into it. He only played one season.
Okay, well, still, he's fine.
Well, yeah.
One season.
Yeah, he makes money. And also, his nephew is a legit. Malik Neighbors is his nephew. And he makes over $80 million in the NFL. Now, the Jordan's husband, he did one season, and he was, I want to say, he made a couple mil on a 2-year contract, but he was let go after the 1 year, so he only got the minimum, which I think was $700,000 or whatever.
Either way, she's fine. So yeah, she
well,
wants her inheritance.
That was my.
It's not a
well,
matter
my question.
Of wanting the inheritance. You're actually a business partner with this man. Like, you've built this business with him. So when he dies, not only should you get your part of the business that you built, but you should also get a majority of your inheritance. Now, Maria should get a little bit, but that little whore shouldn't get nothing.
Well,
like, plain and simple. And yes, she needs to make this family like her. Because of the bullshit she pulled in France for the christening or whatever, nobody liked her then. So they voiced that they didn't like her then. Everybody buys refundable tickets for the marriage. Like, come on.
Well,
yes, it's her responsibility.
If they don't show up to the wedding or not, it's still going to happen. Like, I just feel like it's too late. And I feel like Mina knows that she doesn't need the family. The more the family is around, the less likely she's going to be able to take everything that he has. And I think she knows if she makes enemies with everybody and she keeps them away, she'll be able to get a marriage without a prenuptial agreement. As long as she doesn't get Jordan out of the picture, Jordan is going to demand. She's going to literally lay on the table and make the document be signed. But if she can get Jordan pissed off enough to cut off her dad, cut off communication with her dad, Mina will win. Mina knows that Jordan is the snake. She's the only person standing behind or standing in between Mark's fortune and her. She knows. And Jordan knows this too. Jordan is like, you're not going to come in here and take everything that we have. She was like, my family built this business together. You weren't here. And Jordan is trying to solidify that she's going to get her inheritance at the end of the day. And I think Mark is so gullible, but he did say tonight, he was like, oh yeah, we're going to sign a prenup, but he didn't have that conversation. That's not the conversation he had with Mina. So I'm trying to understand. It's like, you can't force her.
He's claiming he did, but there was some communication, some language barrier.
No. If Mina knows any English, she knows money, prenup, and sign. She is not, I guarantee, because he's like, oh, maybe she misunderstood. She didn't misunderstand it. Trust me. A gold digger knows what a prenup is. She knows what money means. Yep. She knows what she knows. The conversation they had was, I'm not signing it.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that's what she said. And I think he's under the impression, he's like, well, if she doesn't sign it, we don't get married. Well, that could be true, but you have a baby with her. You're on the hook regardless.
Yeah.
So either you're going to pay her child support or you're gonna give her half of your stuff. And she knows that that's the arrangement. That's why she's here.
Yeah. Either way, she's getting money out of the person.
Well, right. She's won a lottery ticket. And she's just trying to figure out if she's going to get structured payment or a lump sum. Right? Yeah. That's basically where we're at. She's just like, am I going to get a big lump sum? Or am I going to get structured payments over the rest of my life? That's basically the only... Because Mina's one. She did what she had to do. Having that baby was solidifying that she was going to get his fortune.
Yeah.
And Jordan is trying to protect her dad, but it's too late. She can't protect him because he already went and made a baby with his woman. She can't protect him to that extent. She can demand a prenuptial agreement, but as long as they're together, she'll probably just spend all the money while they're together. This isn't her first time gold digging somebody.
Yeah.
Right? Mina's been doing this. This isn't her first rodeo. So even if they make her sign the prenup, she'll just make sure that she spends all the money while she's there before she leaves them.
Yeah.
And sets up herself so she can move on to the next guy. Because I guarantee you...
Also, what the hell is going on with that car seat?
Did you see that Mina was holding it?
What kind of parents is this? In the truck. Not even in the golf cart. In the truck. That's not even a normal car seat.
It's a stroller. But did you see that Mina was holding the stroller? Because I don't even think they locked the wheels. When I looked at the scene, she was like holding it. I guess so it wouldn't move when they stopped.
Oh my gosh.
I don't understand this because Mark has raised kids up before. Strollers are not new. This is not new technology. There were strollers 50 years ago. So I'm really
getting there. Probably better that she left her other kid behind for safety reasons.
Well, I just hope that she doesn't forget about the kid like a lot of these other women do.
As soon as she gets knocked up again, she will.
I feel so bad for the kids. These kids are, they're living their life. They have their mom, and then one day they wake up and their mom leaves them and goes to another country. I can't imagine. It sounds like something out of a movie, but this is happening to numerous children around the world. It's hurtful to think that a mother could do that to their child, because I had a mom. Right, I still have a mom, and she would have never in a million years did that. So it's crazy to think that there's a mom who's just like, oh, yeah, I have kids, but I'll leave them wherever the hell they're at.
My mom,
while I improve my life.
Took me to work with her. I never went to a babysitter. My mom took me to work with her. So.
Hey, bestie. Hey, Kim.
Hey, Kim.
See, you know what's funny? My mom did, too, because my mom was a teacher, and I was being homeschooled. Yeah. And whenever she had classes, she just took me to the school with her.
Right.
And I would sit there while she taught, and I learned too. But yeah, I never actually went to a babysitter. Well, you know what? I did briefly, but it was like this really old lady who was a part of our church. And it was just but it wasn't like a regular thing. It was just when my mom had, she worked at a bank for a small amount of time. And it was just for that. She couldn't actually bring me into the bank. Right. So she couldn't take me with her. But yeah, but... Okay, so I want to talk about Greg today because just got home. Talk to you later. Love you, bestie. He woke up in the morning, and Joan was picking up after him, and he appeared to be playing video games. Yeah. But that's not what got me, Cara. That's not what got me. So tonight, what got me was while he's sitting at home in Lucille's house playing video games, he told us tonight that he introduced Lucille to rideshare delivery of food. So he has her working her normal job as well as rideshare delivery, and then he sits around the house and plays video games while she's out working. And I think that's what got me, because I was
if I didn't already despise this guy enough, today was everything for me. Okay, so I have so much to say about him. The fact that he's trying to figure out how to get his mom out of the house so she could work and earn a living for him just speaks volumes about his lazy character.
Yes.
But the comment that he made, okay, $3,000 isn't a lot of money. It's also a lot of money. But it's also a lot of money for some people.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money for someone that doesn't work. But when he says, first of all, this guy claims that he turned down a government job. But then she says, 15 cows are $200 a piece. And he's literally going, 2, 4, 6. You can't go 2 times 15 is $3,000. You can't do that. Like,
I noticed that too.
You're not getting a government job if you're counting on your fingers, number one. Number two, this freaking guy says, who can just afford 15 cows? Well, if 15 cows are only $3,000, a lot of people can afford that. And just like she said, so many people can afford that. You just can't. I tell you what, you cannot get a cow. You can't even buy a half a cow in the United States for the half the price, for $200. There's no way. A half of beef to stock your freezer is like $1,100. So he is actually eating more cow than he is willing to pay for his wife. with this guy.
I was really surprised when she mentioned the dowry, because he never mentioned it before. And we learned a lot of...
Hold on, there's more. Then he says, why is it all on me? Well, because you're the man, you proposed to her, you brought her to the United States. You. That's why it's on you, you sick fuck. God, he makes me mad.
Well, that was the weirdest comment. That's
very mean.
Well, that was such a weird comment because he was like, why is the dowry all on me? And I was like, do you think that she's supposed to pay her own dowry?
That's the most absurd thing I've ever heard.
Like, I understand, like, don't get me wrong. I don't agree with dowries. I don't think that we should ever put a monetary value on a human being. I don't believe in it. But I respect the culture that when you take away a family's daughter to become your wife, that daughter brought a lot of value to that family, whether it be helping, cooking, cleaning, working, whatever. So you need to replace that value to that family because you're taking away. So I get it. But when he said that, he was like, well, why should I have to pay? Why is it on me? And I was like, so do you not know how marriage works?
Yeah, like, he's an idiot.
When you and what's crazy to me is he's being raised by a woman. Like, I was raised by women, my sister and my mom. I had no guys around, right? So I understand a lot more of how the world works from a female perspective because that's how I was raised. So some of the things that he does and says are confusing because I was like, you should understand this because you know how things work from a female perspective because that's how you were raised. You know what women go through and you know how these things work. So the idea that he's like, well, I'm just used to my mom taking care of me and cleaning up after me and not complaining. And I was like, she's complaining because you're not even doing the bare minimum, right? The bare minimum. Like, she's not asking you to buy her $1 million house.
Yep.
She's just asking for like a one bedroom, one bath that y'all can call your own. Yep. That's all she's asking for. She's not saying that you should drive any type of Lamborghini.
Also, Ferrari. Get off your ass and rent a place. Go rent a place. I know you want to buy a house, but not everyone can just go out and buy a house. If you can't, go find something to rent.
Who's going to sell you a house if you ain't got no job?
100%. Who's going to approve your wife's visa to come from Uganda if you don't have a job? That is all mama.
All her. Okay, so Chel says, but didn't she have a job in Uganda? She didn't save any money. Yes, she did have a job in Uganda. I believe she was in charge of a nonprofit in Uganda, if I'm not mistaken, which was a pretty good job. And she has her master's
degree.
Yeah, she has her master's degree. This is a very intelligent woman. This is not a gold digger. This is not a lazy. This is no Jasmine. Okay, this is a real woman who has goals, hopes, dreams, and aspirations. But at the same time, you asking, did she save any money? She shouldn't have to use any of her money because he is the one that got on a knee and proposed to her and dragged her away from her home country, her job, her family, her way of life, everything that she knew. So it's his responsibility to take care of her right now. She can't work. So even if she did save up any money, she should save that for herself in case this doesn't work out and she needs money to get back home or she needs money to find somewhere to go because she's up Schitt's Creek without a paddle if this doesn't work out. So if she has any money whatsoever, she shouldn't give a dime to this dude. It is not her responsibility. And wait, I saw another comment up here. They said, I bet you if once she gets her green card, he's going to try to live off of her. I 100% believe that. I believe that once...
I just looked up the highest paying salary in Uganda. Let's say she has the highest paying salary. If she had the highest paying salary in Uganda, it's only equivalent to $1,478 US. But the average salary...
Yearly?
The average... No, monthly.
Oh, monthly.
The average... salary is around $35 US monthly.
Oh my god. So well, even if she had any money
in between there on the high end, she's still making less than $1,500 a month.
Yeah. Even if she had any money saved.
Really far, and that's the highest paying job in Uganda. That's the highest
paying. And to believe that she was making more money than Greg.
Mm-hmm.
And because he won't work at all.
Yeah.
And it's like, she was making very little to nothing. So, and the idea that she thought she was coming over here to a better life. Yeah. I'm just really confused by Greg because he has all of the advantages that you would want. You have parents or a mom who would stand by you. He could go to school. and he doesn't have to worry about rent or anything. He could take a technical class and become a mechanic. There's so many different avenues that he has, and he has all these advantages that a lot of other people don't have, right? Like, he could cut out a lot of costs to get a career. He doesn't want a career. And there are people in the world that are like that. They don't want a career. They don't want to work. They're just not interested. And, you know, I will say, for the most part, most of us don't want to work, but it's something that we have to do. Right. We have to. Yeah. And for some reason, he believes that he doesn't have to, want to, need to, isn't required to. It's just not a requirement. And I hate to blame anybody, but Lucille is 90% the issue here. Yeah. Because if I behave this way, my mom would have just unalived me herself. You know the term, I brought you in this world and I'll take you out? My mom would just take me out. If I acted, first of all, she would be embarrassed and ashamed that I was even, her friends would never let the end of this go away if I was acting this way. But the fact that she's let it go on for so long, she's mowing the lawn, she's working two jobs, she's doing food delivery, and he doesn't have to do nothing. She's the enabler. She's enabled him into a monster. He's a monster.
Yeah.
The way that he talks about work, and he's like, you think that I'm supposed to pay for everything. You're supposed to pay for everything because you're your own responsibility.
And you're and responsible when you marry for her for the next 10 years by bringing her over here. You
even if she was a local girl, he's still responsible. When you, haven't anybody heard the vows where you vowed, I'm going to take care of you through sickness and in health? You're saying, no matter what happens, this woman is going to be taken care of. And it goes vice versa. She's saying the same thing to you. You're like, I don't understand who raised him. I mean, I know who raised him, but like, what did she teach him? Like, what kind of morals were going on in this house that she raised him to believe that he can marry somebody and not get a job and then ask her why she can't pay her own dowry?
Like, yeah, that's ridiculous.
Who raised you? Well, it's, This he's like the one that I really can't stand this season. I just can't stand him because he just has no, it's the audacity for me. He has no shame. So, and he doesn't.
How did he keep affording to go to Uganda?
Well, he keeps saying that he has like all this debt. So I'm assuming he got a credit card and he kept charging trips. That's what I'm assuming. I don't know. That's my theory because he's never said that he had a job before or after this. So I'm assuming, and then he mentioned last week, he's like, well, you know, I have a lot of debt, $8,000 to $10,000 in debt. I'm assuming he was going back and forth and charging it. Or maybe the first few times, maybe Lucille fit the bill, right?
Probably. Because that's said the only tonight, way they got her over here. That's the only way.
She said tonight, she was like, I'm just really happy to see him, you know, happy and dancing. And, a good, and I was like, he doesn't deserve to be happy. Happiness is earned. Okay, you should earn that. He doesn't deserve to be happy until he gets off of his computer in the middle of the damn day and get a job. Yeah. Any job. But well, he's like,
his beautiful fiance is sitting there on the couch. Your mom's leaving, and you literally turn and look at her and say, is it okay if I play games? No. Get off your fat ass, sit down next to her, play games with her. Like, pay attention to her. You had all this time. You're what? How old is he? 40 something?
37.
All this time to play games. Okay, so he had 37 years to play games. Now it's time to grow up.
It's really time to grow up. And that's a good question. Cinder says, what does Joan love about him? I ask this question all the time. When I see women in relationships with men, and I'm like, what do you, I would love to just get in the mind of women sometimes so I could understand why they, but what's the, she's suffering. Cara, yeah, she's actually suffering.
She didn't know that. She even made that comment. I thought this was the land of opportunities.
Yeah, you're right. She said to her sister, I thought most U.S. Americans were financially stable or they had better finances. And for the most part, Joan, we do. There's a lot of
She said to her sister on the phone, America is the land of opportunities.
So she's gonna suffer first. You know that the no good deed goes unpunished. Before that green card shows up,
she's already suffering. She has to sleep with this man.
This is true. I will never want anything that bad to do the things that these people do for these green cards. I'll never want it. that nope. bad. Is I
don't care how really bad question. I want something.
Nope. You know what's weird? I'm not the type of person that could pretend to be attracted or like somebody when I don't.
Yeah, me either.
So, you know, because I was talking about this on the other podcast. I was like, I couldn't be a prostitute or like an escort because I can't pretend. Yeah. Like, you know, when you go to like a strip club and the girl will be like, she will give the illusion that she is interested in you.
Yeah.
I don't know how to lie like that.
Can't either.
It's not possible for me. Like, if I'm disgusted by you, I'm going to give you like a, like, I'm going to give you a look, right? And then everybody's going to know that
you want
I'm going to get fired. I'll be the first one fired from the strip club. Because they're like, you can't look at people like that. Like, you can't look at it. So I'll never get how people can sit there and pretend to like people and get them to tip them and give them money. Because I'm not built that way. My face gives me away. And there's nothing that, oh, thank you for the badge, pretty.
My face literally says everything I'm thinking before I even know what I'm thinking.
I have judgmental eyes.
Yeah.
Judgmental eyes. And I think it's because I was raised very religious. You know, religious people are very, so I have judgmental eyes. So whenever someone's talking to me or they're telling me something, my eyes start judging them. Before my mouth, it's my eyes. I'm just like, you did what? Right? Like, why would you do that? Yeah, it just starts. And then by that time, they don't want to talk to me about it anymore because they just feel judged.
Yeah.
But that's just, I don't know how to turn it off. My face and mouth don't always communicate.
Yeah.
My eyes are usually telling a story. But
usually my brain and my mouth don't communicate. I'm just as surprised as everybody else by what comes out of my mouth.
Yeah. That's how I am too. Once I say things, I'll have immediate regret. Because I was like, I probably shouldn't have said that. I'm going to get so
I don't regret it. If I said it, I meant it.
I don't like the DMs because people are like, well, why would you say that? And then I have to explain to them why I'm a bad
person. I don't have to explain shit. I just block. I never even check my DMs. I'm so bad. But if it's like, okay, when Danielle was messaging me after she decided to attack you and she decided to message me.
Wait, did she message you?
Yeah. Remember?
What did she say?
About her being all nasty and then she tried to come back at me. Girl, I already got you.
That little leprechaun. Yep. I can't with that little leprechaun. She is something else. An angry little leprechaun. All I tell her all the time is go and pay your tolls, lady. Yep. Go pay your tolls. Stop worrying about me. Stop worrying about what I'm saying.
She tried to come at me for my looks is what she did. So she went after you. I went after her. And then she came after me for my looks. So I sent her a bunch of screenshots. Remember the screenshots I sent you with her boobs hanging down low?
I do. See, yeah.
I captioned it with a song, Do Your Boobs Hang Low? Do They Wobble To and Fro? So then she tried to get really nasty. So anyway, it's fine.
That sounds like a fun exchange. She can't take it. She dishes it and she can't take it because she started with me and then I started posting stories and I came for her and before I knew it, she blocked me. She dishes it, but she can't take it. I mean, if you want to go, we can go.
Yeah.
I will fight you. Okay, like we can go if you really want. I don't mean like for real fight. I mean like argue. But like if you want to go, we can go. If you
want to fight,
if you want to take it there, I will go. You know the high road. I will take it to the sewer. We will go down in the sewer and we will throw sewer water. Like I can get it.
Drive that bitch all the way to hell.
I'm not the one, right? And Kara, you tell people you're like, don't come for the people that I care about. Right? Kara will tell you that's the last thing you want to do. We got to talk about Sean and Aaliyah. So, Sean and Aaliyah, there was a couple of scenes tonight. Nothing really substantial happened. They went to
Bingo. So irritated.
Wait, why? What did they do?
Come on.
I know.
Asked Angela, what did you know about me? Angela answers, and she keeps using my dead name.
Here's my thing, Kara. She said to us a couple weeks ago that all of her paperwork still says Douglas. So her passport, her birth certificate. So it can't be necessarily your dead name because that's still your name. She can go and change it legally. And she didn't do that. So if that really is your dead name and you don't ever want to hear it again, you don't want to be called or referred to by it, you have to go and process the application to change your name. And she didn't even do that. And it's like, it's confusing.
You can DM me. I just am horrible at checking my DMs. I promise. And if you're DMing me to come after George, you're not going to win. So there's that.
Ask Danielle.
Yeah.
She'll tell you.
Ask Danielle.
Things got really bad.
Also ask.
Are the rumors true that Angela is going to be in Rob's boy band video? I do know that Angela was at an event for Preview Models this past weekend. And I do know that Angela has been doing things with Josh and the Bad Boys. So my guess.
Oh, God. Okay, so did you get what I sent you about the one you couldn't see? Did you see what that is?
No, by the time you sent it, I'd already started the live.
Okay, there has to be some kind of joke about this, but it's Josh and Danielle together.
Which Danielle?
Danielle and Muhammad.
My friend Danielle.
She's going to be at the tell-all.
Josh Wallstein. Together. Not like together, just in a picture together.
She's going to be at the tell-all.
That's interesting, because remember they said that Josh was seeing someone and they were going to reveal who Josh was seeing at the tell-all. Uh-huh. It couldn't possibly be Danielle,
I'm
gonna right?
I'm going to screen record this and send it to you.
That's interesting. I would like to know what's going on with that. It can't possibly be that. It just can't.
I'm going to screen record it and send it to you tonight.
Can you get your birth certificate changed if you didn't have surgery?
I don't think so.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I know
they have a place where when you get your driver's license, you take in your birth certificate, but if you're transgender, you can just have an X put on there under sex.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so yeah, you can get your birth certificate changed, the name, but the gender is probably what you're saying, Cara. It'll say X.
Yes.
You can't.
So, no, unlike like your Oregon driver's license, you have to take your birth certificate in there with the sex you were assigned, the gender you were assigned at birth. Then when they give you your ID, they ask if you're male or female or otherwise, and then you say transgender, and they put an X under sex instead of M or F.
Yeah, I know that you can change your name, and I think that's really all she really needs to do. But I mean, I guess that isn't evasive. Like, if she has a passport, for instance, and it says male on it and she identifies as a female, I can understand how that might bother her.
Yeah.
But to tell people, don't call me by my dead name, because that's not who I am. And it's like, they met as that person.
Exactly.
And he built memories with Douglas. And now if he ever reminisces on the memories that he built with Douglas, which is still Aaliyah to some extent, right? Like, she's like, well, that's just hurtful. It's not hurtful. Like, I think it would be hurtful if somebody who knows that she identifies as a woman maliciously calls her a man. That's hurtful. That's mean and hurtful and disrespectful. But I don't think it's hurtful to bring up times that y'all spent together as Douglas.
Right.
Because you can't necessarily kill that person, because you're still alive. Right? Like, none of you is dead. Not your past, not your present. We aren't dead until we're dead. So to say that, you know, that part of my life is dead, that's crazy, because there's so much, 90% of her life is while she was a man. She just recently transitioned to a woman. So you're saying that, like, 90% of all of the things you've ever accomplished in life, you never wanted to discuss?
Also,
she's a nurse.
He has made it so clear that he is just not attracted to women, and that this is a huge change for him to try to adapt to this. And then she comes out wearing women's lingerie, and his reaction, that's pretty.
Well,
he can't fake it either.
I think, Sean has that face too. I think Sean is, I want to say confused, but I don't really know what's going on with him. I think that he definitely doesn't want to be with a woman.
And he keeps saying that over and over.
He's definitely a gay man, and he knows what he likes and wants. And I think the pictures of Douglas, when he showed the pictures tonight, he looked happier.
Yeah.
He was smiling. He's like, oh, look how attractive he was, blah, blah. That's who he wants to be with.
Yeah,
and I think it's really sad that he wasn't honest with her.
Yeah.
Because I think she's going to be hurt because she thinks that he wants to be with her, but he doesn't.
I mean, and that would be really tough, to be honest. If you put yourself in their shoes, like, that would be really tough. If my husband just randomly one day was like, you know what, I feel like I should be a woman. Okay, well, bye-bye.
Well, right, because you're not a lesbian, right? No. You're not a lesbian. It's not a and it's not a negotiation for you, right? You're like, well, let's see how it goes. It's not a negotiation for you. You're like, that's not how.
No.
Well, Diva says, aren't some states no longer complying with transgender names and issuing passports? Yes, under the new administration, they are making it more difficult. I think our latest administration legally declared two genders, right? I think that's what they recently did. So yeah, they're making it much more difficult for people to identify as who they are. So yeah, that could also be an issue that Aaliyah runs into now that she's here. Cause you know, she's gonna wanna get all of her paperwork and her passport and her ID, everything switched over. Because if she doesn't ever wanna be referred to as Douglas, you can't go to the DMV and hand them paperwork that says Douglas, they're gonna ask you and refer to you as Douglas. So if she really wants to get that done, it could be very difficult. And I've never really thought about that aspect of it for people who've transitioned like later in life. What is that like? Because there's always gonna be that trace of the other person.
Yeah.
No matter what you do, what you change, what surgery, your paperwork, there's always gonna be a trace of that person. And somebody might misrefer to you as that person based on looking at a passport, a driver's license, a birth certificate, a social security card, a visa application. Something on there is going to indicate that other name. So I never even realized they're always going to be reminded of that person that they, you know, don't want to be anymore.
Well, it's just like about Bruce Jenner. I mean, Caitlyn Jenner, all of his Olympic stuff is, you know, under Bruce Jenner's name. So anytime he sees that or she sees that, however, whoever, whatever, that's how it's gonna be.
Yeah, it's hard for Caitlyn because not only was Bruce a household name, but he was a part of the Kardashian family. So it's never gonna be a way for him to erase Bruce Jenner.
Absolutely.
From his identity, from her identity, even though she is now Caitlyn Jenner, clearly a woman, she's never going to be able to clearly remove, like, what Aaliyah is saying. I don't ever want to hear that. It never happened. Because, like you said, the medals, all the accomplishments, there's TV shows.
Even most recently, Brody Jenner was just on the Special Forces, and they talked about it all the time. So, who's your dad? And he's like, well, my dad is actually my mom. I'm sure you know her. And he was struggling with how to explain that. And it came up over and over and over.
It's hard because you want to be as respectful as possible when it comes to these things. Because what we think is a normal pronoun or pronunciation of something can be extremely hurtful to someone.
Yeah.
So have to be very careful. Because I used to mispronounce or give the wrong pronouns, and I didn't realize how mean and hurtful that was. Because for some, you know, for regular pronunciations and he, him, hers, there's so many other ways that you're supposed to refer to people. Because some people go by they, them.
Yeah.
Right? And it's really hard because you want to be as respectful as possible. I would never call somebody purposely by the wrong pronoun, but sometimes you make that mistake, and then it sets people back. It just makes people feel like, you know, you don't respect me as a person. And I think that Aaliyah's being young and going through this, and I kind of feel like Aaliyah's kind of naive. I don't think Aaliyah knows what she's really getting into because, it's much more accepted and easier to be yourself now, but there's still a lot of negativity and hate that goes around for people going through this. It's not as widespread as it used to be, but it still exists. So I just hope that she's equipped, you know, to deal with some ignorant people or hateful people or people who just don't have the proper respect for others. And
so much worse in America.
Yeah. It's funny because everyone's like, oh, America's so great. We're just a hateful place.
Yeah, we're
right?
Terrible.
We are hateful in social media, and there are certain states that just don't care for people that identify any other way than male or female. And you just have to be careful of where you are, and you have to realize that there are people who may never accept you. They have no reason not to, but they just won't because they're hateful. They have hate in their heart, right? That's just who they are.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Also, Juan and Jessica were on tonight, and I have a question. You might not know, but when Jessica refers to her ex, we're talking about her baby daddy, right? The boy's father.
I don't think so.
Because she said that she spent some time with the ex, and then Juan was like, but the kids weren't there. And I was like, well, why is he saying the kids weren't there? Is it because it's their dad?
So what I got from it was she spent some time with the ex, and he said, when did he come over? She said it was nighttime, and he said, were the kids here? So in other words, the kids were with their dad.
Their dad. Okay.
And she was with the ex alone, and he was upset by that. That's how I took it.
I mean, would it be worse if it was their dad because they have so much more history?
I mean, that would be... Also, did you notice they're, like, basically neighbors?
Yeah, they can walk to each other's houses. And I don't know if it's just because they're from Torrington and it's a small town, or it's just
I live in a very small town, and it's still a good 7 miles to my friend's house.
Oh, so yeah, they're really close. And that if they have that relationship, I think that's really beautiful for the boys.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
When my mom and dad split, my dad got remarried right away, and his new wife and my mom wanted to kill each other. Okay? Yeah. Like, it was every time they came over, there was screaming, there was cussing. No, I don't think anyone actually hit each other before, but, you know, it got pretty close.
Yeah.
You know, so if that's the type of relationship they have, they can live that close, they can walk back and forth to each other's homes, that's beautiful for those boys, you know, that they can have civilized parents, because I didn't get to have civilized parents growing up. It wasn't how it was for me. So if that's true, I'm happy for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I took it that she didn't do anything with the ex. She was starting to develop feelings again, cut it off, kind of thing. You know, because she wasn't going to overstep that line.
Well,
and then didn't really tell him about it.
Well, you know, I don't know. I feel like if they didn't have sex, what's there to tell? I mean, I know there's emotional cheating, right, Cara? I know there's emotional cheating, but I think she felt like we didn't do anything physical. No kissing, no touching, nothing. Why would I need to tell him? So I'm kind of on Jessica's side, because he's like, well, you could have told me. And I was like, told you what? That we had a conversation? Like, I had a conversation with somebody at the gas station today.
Yep.
Nothing happened. Yeah. Well, like, I was buying something. Like, I didn't know that I had to report conversations.
I have conversations with people all the time, and nothing happens.
Right. So I was like, yeah, I don't really think it's necessary to report conversations. It's in the way that he's like, oh, well, you did something bad. I was like, you had sex with somebody on a cruise ship. You did something bad. You lied about it at first. That made it even worse. Right? You could have just said what you did. You lied at first, and then you finally got sick of it, and you told her the truth. So it's like, stop acting like you're a victim in this story where she was talking to her ex. She can talk to her ex.
Yeah.
As long as nothing is going on, you can talk to anyone. I think it's weird when people get married or they get in relationships and they start telling people who they can and can't talk to.
Yeah.
You can't tell people that you shouldn't be together. If you're going to tell me that I can't talk to people anymore, that we're going to break up.
I told you before, my best friend is a guy and my husband has no problem with it. My husband knows him, knows that and it's funny because we've been best friends for like, I mean, I've got several best friends, but like, I have one of my closest friends is a guy, and my husband very much knows him. Nothing's ever secret. Like, it just seems natural to me.
I have, my bestie's a girl too. And I tell people all the time, it's like, if we're going to start talking, it's like, I'm not going to stop talking to my bestie because it makes you uncomfortable. So know right now, if it makes you uncomfortable, block me now because I'm not changing that for you.
Yeah,
they were here before you and they're going to be here after. So either we're going to coexist or we're not going to exist at all together. You know, like, because I'm not changing. So when he was like, oh, well, you shouldn't be talking to your ex. I was like, she can talk to anybody she wants. And if you think that she's out here cheating with everybody, then you shouldn't be with anybody. If you think that people can't be faithful or they're incapable of being faithful, why are you with them?
Yeah, that's what, exactly.
Shekinah too. Shekinah said that tonight too. She was like, I don't really trust Sarper. And I was like, so why are you trying to marry him? Right? Like, I don't understand, especially somebody who claims to have been with 2,500 women. She's like, I just don't think, you know, I can trust him because, you know, he's probably going to find it hard to be faithful. So you moved him in your house. Why?
Yeah.
You moved him to Los Angeles by the beach where all these beautiful women are. And you think that this person who you don't trust is the right person for you that you should be starting a life with.
Also about Sarper and Shekinah, why does he have to leave the house when she has a client? So she doesn't want to make the women feel uncomfortable, or so that he is not having contact with other women? Because there's no damn reason he can't just hang out upstairs and watch TV.
Yeah, the upstairs is completely hidden.
Yeah.
From what we saw on the show.
Yes.
It's completely hidden from the work area. There's a stairwell, and then there's like a hall and a door. You can't see anything up there. So if he was there, I don't know what their ceiling and floors are like. Maybe you could hear someone moving around, but you wouldn't see the person. I think you nailed it. I think that she works with a lot of plastic looking girls, like, you know, what we saw tonight.
Yep.
And that's his type.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want him to get any ideas, because as of right now, he doesn't know anybody. But if he starts building a rapport with these clients that's a regular seeing and interacting with, she thinks, and he might think, oh, well, maybe I'll talk to these women outside of the spa.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'll ask her where she works out, and then we'll start hanging out. And I think I really do think she doesn't trust him. How can you trust somebody who's had sex with 2,500 people? Like, how can you trust that person?
You just can't.
I also think that number is inflated. Because I feel like...
By about 2,450.
Yeah, I think it's inflated. I feel like it would just fall off.
Yeah.
At that point, I don't even think they're built for that. I think it would just fall off.
There's no way in hell that you can have sex with 2,500 women and not come up with some kind of STD.
Yeah, he claims he's and you know, some STDs are incurable. You have it forever.
Uh-huh.
And he claims that he's clean, which that's why I believe that the number
I call bullshit.
It's inflated. Well, no, I don't think that he doesn't have an STD. I think he didn't have sex with that many people.
Oh, I don't think he had sex with that many people either. But I also don't think he doesn't not have an STD.
Oh, you think he does? Maybe she kind of... Maybe they both have the same incurable STD, so they're not really worried about it. Because you can't infect each other because you already have it.
Yeah,
it could be that they both have Hep C, and they're like, well, I got Hep C.
Itch and burn and sting together.
Right, they're like, well, you can't give it to me because I already got it.
We'll just
like,
scratch each other.
Well, I think it could be that, because I'm not saying that Shekinah is a hoochie, but I feel like she's been around the block a few times, right? And possibly taken the bus as well. So I think that they probably got the same one. Oh, so her daughter Sophie is going to be on the show again. Remember, we saw her way back when they first came on. And they're going to do the storyline of whether or not Sophie gets along with Sarper, which... You know, they kind of did that the first time around, but they're bringing it back. So that'll be interesting to see. I like to see Shekinah's daughter because she seems so much smarter than Shekinah. And it just makes me realize that it's possible for you to have idiot parents and still be an intelligent, successful person. Yeah, right?
Literally.
So it brings hope to anybody who's going through any issues with their parents. Just know you can be smarter than them and half their age. Right?
So
like, you do not have to be your parents. You can be smarter, better, and more successful. And I feel like her daughter is such a perfect example of that.
Yeah, so much.
All right, who else was on? That was everybody, right?
Because
we didn't have the thruple tonight. Yeah, no thruple. And I didn't miss them.
I didn't miss them.
And it looks like we're getting closer to the end of their relationship, because the next preview was when she was telling her, Annie said, I'm not telling my family about you before you leave here. And then she called her a hoe and said, you can't be a housewife because you're a hoe. Now, I feel like that's probably going to be the breakup, right? How do you come back from calling a woman a hoe in her face? Like, I don't know how you can. Well, I don't know.
Especially if any woman who's a stripper.
Right. I don't see a forgiveness coming from. If I call somebody a hoe, she's going to block me and we're not going to talk anymore, because that's you don't really come back from that, because you don't say I'm sorry for calling you a hoe. You know, like that's just not something you come back from. Oh, and Stevie and Maddie weren't on this week, but we got some previews from them next week, and it's more so of him kind of green card fishing. I don't know. I'm getting the vibe that he's green card fishing, which is funny because he told us in the beginning that he never wanted to come here because he didn't like America. And now that we're watching more and more, hey, Kobe, now that we're watching more and more, I think that he's green card fishing. I think he's saying, oh, no, I don't want to be in America. America's horrible and my country's better, when actual he really wanted to be here. And I think that he said a little bit before, he was like, well, I would stay here even if we broke up. And then we found out on some more previews later. I think he's trying to get over here. Yeah. I think he's got motives, which, you know,
I agree.
It's fine.
I agree.
I don't hate the player. I hate the game, right? Yeah. Yeah, I don't hate the player. I hate the game. If you get caught up in these scams, it's on you. Yeah. You don't hate the player. You hate the game. They played the game and they won, right? And if he got his green card and he won, so many people do this, right? Look at Larissa. They come over here. They grab that green card. They win it. Didn't miss Stevie and Mahdi tonight. They're a snooze fest. Yeah, they're kind of boring. Everyone is good, Kobe. Hope you and the fam is good.
Kobe, tell your baby boy happy birthday.
Which boy? Is it Colgan or Atem's birthday?
The little
Atem. Oh, happy birthday, Atem. Aww.
Emily was making him a cake.
Their babies are cute.
Oh, my so cute. My God, they make beautiful babies.
I know. So the 90 Day Universe, they're all cute. Also, Minta, David and Annie's baby, I saw another picture.
Yeah.
So cute. She's also, so David, cute. David and Annie were fine. They reported that they were pretty far away from where that earthquake happened, in case, oh, his birthday was on the 15th. Oh,
Emily was just slack and posting pictures. Either way, it's all
also, he's a year old. Yeah. It went by so fast. I remember when they announced it and we were posting about it, about the baby. Yeah, that's crazy. Baby, time for Kobe, get off of her.
No more
time for baby four. Kobe, get off of her. Let her breathe.
Damn bedroom, Kobe.
Let her breathe, yeah. Kobe. Jeez.
No kidding. She needs to catch her breath.
All right, guys. We're going to wrap for tonight. Tomorrow is the big day. Clear your plans. Kara and I will be here. We're going to be discussing The Last Resort, episode 18, part one of the tell-all. There's a stiletto that went flying that Rob Matrix dodged. There's going to be a crazy, crazy confrontation tomorrow. I'm really, really excited. We don't condone violence, but this was pre-recorded. So we will be watching, and make sure you guys watch. We're going to be discussing the tell-all. There's three parts, but the tell-all tomorrow is going to be insane. And Jasmine and Rob have been fighting all week about the things that happened at this tell-all. So if you guys don't have enough anticipation for what's going to happen, it's going to be insane. I am so excited.
Realize that we've all suffered for like 117 weeks for this moment.
Yes. So. We deserve this drama, and no pregnant women were hurt in the filming of this, so just enjoy it, guys. Just enjoy it. No one was hurt. Everybody went home and not to the hospital, so we can just enjoy the drama.
Yes.
All right, guys, make sure you're following Kara. I'm tagging her in this video. Make sure you're following me on all social media platforms, at George Massey, georgemassey.com. Anywhere it's a podcast, type in The George Massey Show. Everybody have a wonderful night, and we'll see all of you tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.